might as well go ahead and call this to order. I will just make a quick comment, although I guess without many public here, I think we can all probably speak loud enough to hear, but it might still help the recording to use the microphones.
It'll pick it up.
Okay, but if you want to use the microphones, you just push it, and it'll go green when your microphone's live and red when it's not. And it's not an instant reaction either, so just a note for that. But with that, we'll call it to order and ask for the roll to be called, please.
Schrader?
Here.
Shore?
Here.
Weibel?
Here.
Berkson?
Here.
Harper?
Here.
Petrie?
Present.
Esri?
Here. Okay, thanks. Everyone's here. Okay, move on to approval of agenda and addenda.
Move to approve.
Moved by Mr. Weibel.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Harper.
I have just a couple of edits to make to the minute.
No problem, Sam. Is there any additions or anything to do with the agenda? And if not, then all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, nay? Okay, that passes. We'll move on to approval of minutes. The ELEC committee meeting from March 5th. 2015. Is there such a motion?
Move to approve.
Mr. Weibel?
Astrid, second.
Astrid, seconded by Astrid.
All right.
And then additions and corrections, Sam.
Yes. One from line 14 of page 1. I am a committee member now, so I assume, well, just because I wasn't before, so I wasn't
good
added
point
to that list.
Sorry, Sam.
Good point.
On pages 2 and 3, there's a few mentions to SUMMER Township. I think it's supposed to be SLMER Township. That's line 23 on page 2, and lines 18 and 20 on page 3.
Yeah, good eye. I just read past those. Okay, thank you, Mr. Shore. Any other additions or corrections? And seeing none, all in favor of putting on file the minutes as corrected, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Okay, that passes. Public participation, there's no one here, so we'll go on past that. Are there any communications from the board? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to item 7, items for information only. We have the item A under that, local government units tire collection.
I have some news about that. It's my first year working with IEPA, and I thought they had cleared the March end collection dates, but apparently they needed to ask for some director's permission. And then when I read about the governor's sweeping of funds to that account, I thought, well, maybe that's the reason I'm not hearing. But apparently it's just on hold, and it will happen as soon as the director's approval is received. So there's likely still to be a tire collection for local governments yet even this spring. So I'm going to be sending a postcard notification to all of the townships. And it's good for you all to know this in case you get questions. Yes.
Mr. Watt.
Oh.
There's no date set yet, just
no, I know now that I need to be very, very, very specific with the person I'm working with at the IEPA office, because I thought we had it all set up.
These are pictures of the fire on Carolina Avenue. Okay.
It's going to be a week-long event to give the townships time to drop off the stuff. We have everything we need for it, so.
I have one in my basement. Can I drop it off?
No. Not to this one. I'm working with the public
health.
I'll
just pay somebody. I'll drop off an entire day.
It's only a couple dollars, you know.
Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on then to Section 8, items to be approved by ELEC committee. We have A, the recreation and entertainment license for the Champaign County Fair Association Christian Music Festival. Location 1302 North Kohler Avenue, Urbana, Illinois, July 1st through the 4th of 2014. Oop, yep. That is a misprint on the agenda, 2015.
Maybe it was just wishful.
Oh, is there such a motion? Moved by Mr. Shore. Seconded by Ms. Berkson. Is there any comments or questions to be asked about that?
Just clarification question, just for the record, that Mr. Hall, everything is in order on this, and I'll ask the same question, though we're not quite there yet, on the other recreation.
Yeah, everything is in order, and the sheriff has signed off on it.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, with no other questions I see, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. Okay, that passes. Now we will move on to B, cleanup of garbage and debris in Carroll Edition subdivision. There is a couple packets of the pictures floating around that you can look through. I think maybe most of us have seen them.
Down here, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're
also
kind of the same, okay. I think.
Yeah.
I believe a couple of them. I guess he wants to.
I had some comments.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, originally I was just going to request direction from the committee regarding cleanup of the garbage in the backyard. This was following the comments at the last county board meeting. We got an estimate. We only have one estimate so far for the cleanup. It's $3,750. We will need a budget amendment to clean up that garbage in this fiscal year. But obviously, cleanup of the garbage is now complicated by the fire. We circulated photos of the fire. We don't even know when the fire investigation will be completed. So even if we were authorized to clean up the garbage at this point, we couldn't. The owner claims to not have insurance for cleaning up the fire debris. He was already in a difficult situation before the fire. Now, regards the fire, the state's attorney is very concerned that this remnant is sitting there without being fenced off from intrusion. And the state's attorney's office actually would recommend that the county erect a fence around one side of the property is fenced, but the other three sides are not. They're so concerned about the liability of due to this increased danger that they would recommend that the county erect a temporary fence until such time as the demolition can be completed. We called and got an estimate for a temporary fence 6 feet in height around three sides. That would be $1,704 for 1 year. We actually do have enough in property clearance that we could do that. And regarding a fence for safety, when you look at this first photo in the set, which shows the remains of a masonry wall, that masonry wall appears to be maybe 9 or 10 feet tall, and it's about 5 feet away from the sidewalk. So if we were to put a fence around the property, we would actually go, we would enclose the sidewalk in that fence, keep people as far away as we could. There's also debris there on the sidewalk that until it gets moved, you couldn't put a fence any closer. So the fire has really complicated things on this property. Originally, this was back in February, all the way back in February, this was anticipated to be an FY 2020 demolition project if it came to that. But because of the fire, I am inclined to seek a budget amendment this year unless this committee would feel comfortable putting a fence around it. A temporary fence good for a year could put us into spring of 16 and we could have budgeted for demolition at that time. So what I'd like tonight is some guidance to get a sense of the committee regarding installing the security fence, whether or not to proceed with garbage cleanup this year in light of the structure.
Mr. Bible.
Demolition, who will pay for that?
At this point, it would be the county.
my viewpoint is that let's put a fence up and do it all at once. The demolition at the same time.
Could, would you recommend doing that this year?
We can't really move on demolition because obviously you're waiting to the investigation done. So I'd just say move on the fence right now, today.
Okay. Well, that's one idea.
Mr. Schrader.
Are you finished?
I'm finished.
Oh,
sorry. Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry.
John, there was a story on the DWS this morning on the news, and I think it was the fire inspector who stated that the property as it's such is too dangerous to go inspect for the cause, and that what needed to be done is there needed to be some excavation, actual hi-ho in there, and move those walls out because the walls are precarious from a structural strength standpoint. So I would tend to agree with Mr. Wyman that I think we need to move on this property right away. My question is when it comes to, and I don't know how to phrase this, I guess, but I guess when it comes to a lien on this property, there's already a lien on the property already, I believe, with a financial institution. How quickly could we move to put a lien on the property?
We couldn't put a lien until we have actually made an expenditure. In fact, we were told this week that lien from the financial institution, the big lien, they're in the process of removing now that the structure is burned. And we've also found out that the owner intends to enter negotiations with the IRS sometime in the near future to try and get the IRS liens off the property. So if we're lucky, this property could virtually be lien-free within 2 to 3 months. It seems odd that, you know, that's all going to be taken care of and the owner still claims he can't clean up the property. But that's what we've been told.
Just one quick one. Has your office talked to the financial institution? Okay.
I did.
You communicated. Okay, thanks.
BC Bank is also involved. I talked to First Midwest Bank in Itasca, and they're the ones that are releasing their lien.
Okay.
We're just waiting for it to be recorded right now.
Okay. Mr. Wadley.
How much is a property worth by anybody's estimate?
We haven't gone so far as to get an appraisal yet, and I
would. What's your best guess?
I think it's probably worth less than the demolition cost.
Okay, thank you,
Ms. Petrie.
I don't know much about putting up temporary fencing, but it was mentioned that for the investigators to go in, they're going to have to bring in some big equipment. Is this fencing the kind that's sort of temporary, so it can be moved out of the way if you move yesterday and get fencing up and then they come along and
if the county hired a demolition contractor, I'm anticipating the demolition contract, we would have the temporary fence removed and then the demolition contractor would put up his own tents.
No, I'm talking about, I thought your report that you heard on the radio that the a fire investigator said that they would have to go in with some equipment in relationship to the walls. That's what I was referring to.
Right, exactly.
Were they planning to do that?
In response to that, they were not. That what I heard on the radio was they were waiting for the county to do something. Surprised.
We do the demolition and then they investigate?
Well, no. Not the total investigation. Just to make sure the walls that are in bad shape are moved out of the way or knocked down so they can get in and do a thorough investigation.
What's the sense of the committee about an operation like that?
You mean us having somebody come in and knock a few walls down so that then they could get in and investigate, you mean?
Yeah.
Mr. Waddle.
Could Jeff Blue do that?
We've got a backhoe, there's no doubt. Yeah,
got a hot. We need to transfer of funds to, you know, make it illegal on the funding side.
Yeah, we got a high hoe.
Yeah, so.
County Highway does. I'm not sure how it's going to work.
Yeah, but I agree, but, you know, looking into it.
Yeah,
it's going to be a couple hour job, probably.
Yeah.
What they want.
Shouldn't be much to pull a few walls down, yeah.
Yeah.
We can pass that along.
I called the Carroll Fire, or I talked to the Carroll Fire Protection Chief today. He was not there at the fire, but the Savoy Fire Chief was, and he was the investigator. And so he was going to be calling him tonight or trying to reach him tomorrow, and then they're going to let us know, because I asked how long do they think it'll take. Okay. I mean, I don't know if they can look in there and see that there's a pile on the floor and it was, you know, and there's a gas can next to it. Okay. Pretty easy.
Potentially.
Yes. No, I just said if they could.
Yeah.
But my husband actually thinks that the investigation won't take that long, but he just, speaking from past experience.
So can
Mr. Harp.
Oh, sorry.
I kind of agree with Mr. Weibel. I mean, we can send the county high hoe or back hoe, either one, knock down what the investigator needs and get that done, so then the whole thing out of there. If that's legal to do.
Ms. Petrie?
Damn, while they're at it, save us
$21,000. Can I go back to the state's attorney's concern? Is her concern such that this should have been done yesterday, or do we have a little window of time to get some of these answers so we figure it out in an order of priorities?
Well, I don't think we can really do it till their investigation is complete.
Yeah, and it's the state's attorney's office concern. I don't know that it's the actual state's attorney's, but the concern was such that, yeah, as soon as we could put a fence up, they would recommend it, and that couldn't be until after this investigation is over.
Okay, so the key ingredient is getting the investigation done. Mr. Weigel suggested maybe an easy, quick way to move forward on that, so that's A. B, if Jeff says, what are you talking about? I'm driving a team all the way to Carroll Edition, then one needs to be arranged for to get it done. And if your husband is correct, that should be able to be determined in a short period of time, and then we can move on the fencing, correct? Do I understand?
We can move on the fencing quickly. Our office could not, there's no way that I'm aware that we could arrange a backhoe otherwise. We can only do that by an RFP, and that would take some time.
Why an RFP? Is not going to cost that much.
It would be more than $5,000. Really? Or more than $10,000, sorry.
You're talking about the entire demo.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm only talking about getting the walls done so you can go, so they can go in and do the fire bit. That's what I'm sorry.
That's okay. I don't even know. I mean, I didn't even know that the fire department can have you do that. I mean, or whoever.
That's just what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
The radio son. That needs to be clarified, definitely.
Right.
The other thing, too, is I think the priority is probably getting the fence up. Mm-hmm. So I'd be in favor of, you know, instructing you to go ahead and get the fence up, and then we'll go from there. We can check with County Highway Engineer himself, and then we can go from there. And double check with fire inspectors, too.
So this fence is temporary enough that it can be opened and closed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure it can be.
No. It's a 6-foot chain link fence.
Yeah, okay. Take it down.
Okay, that makes sense.
Depends. I guess I have a point clarification. But we could put the fence up if we could get it up tomorrow, because we could let the investigators in. So I mean, there's no real reason we can't put the fence up before they get the investigation done. It's just we would have to make sure that, I would assume the whoever would be doing the investigation knows this is the person to contact to get a key, say, for the lock or something. I would assume we could do that. I would hope we could.
I guess if we could verify with the investigators that the fence wouldn't hinder their investigation, mm-hmm. and they wouldn't destroy it during their investigation, then yeah, we could get that up with all haste.
Sam?
Yes, Mr. Short.
Oh, no. No, I guess since you're looking for direction from the committee, I too would tend to agree with getting the fence up ASAP. You know, communicate, will the investigators be able to work around it, and, you know, what will it mean in terms of the heavy machinery that's needed to pull down those walls, and then once you get that.
Do you want a motion to that effect, John?
That's good enough.
Kind of consensus? I'm fine with that. I agree myself.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there any other?
Anytime, now that we have this planned out, we can just go in and take care of other buildings.
Is there any other comments to be made, or questions to be asked about the property in the Carroll addition? Okay, if not, we will then move on to the addendum. We have item C, recreation and entertainment license, hammer down truck and tractor pull. Champaign County Fairgrounds, 1302 North Kohler Avenue, Urbana, for June 5th through 6th. And this one is correct. It's 2015.
So moved. Second.
By Mr. Harper, seconded by Mr. Schrader. Is there any questions to be asked?
I just wanted to let the committee know that we don't even have the sign-off sheet on this yet. It's so recently submitted. I'm not anticipating any problems from the sheriff's office, but we don't have their sign-off yet.
So do we have to act on that now? What's the time frame on it?
You should act on it now if you can. It's if we wait until May, that would be only a month away from the actual event.
We can get the sign down for meeting next month or next week.
Okay, that would be a compromise.
For the county board meeting, I'm sorry, in 2 weeks.
Yeah, okay, let's do it that way.
They've had this tractor pull for the past.
This is at least the third year, I believe. And Mr. Price, Mr. Watt.
Is there a possibility that our local farmers can enter their tractors?
I don't know if they have a farm stock class or anything.
Well, that's a thing of the past, I guess.
Nope. Not necessarily, it's not a thing of the past, but just not necessarily at this pull. But there's still some around that I don't know if they have it at this pull. So, what would you say you want to hold off till the board meeting?
No, we can go ahead and approve
okay,
it.
Okay, approve it. Down. But then
sheriff.
On a consent
okay.
agenda.
Before it can, right.
Yeah.
It won't be on the consent agenda.
Well, this is just approved that week, like anyway.
That doesn't go to the full board?
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't. That's right. Oh,
can we approve it pending the sheriff's approval?
That's been done before.
Yeah.
That I move that we approve this pending the sheriff's approval.
Second.
Okay. Moved by Mr. Weibel and seconded by Ms. Bergson to.
Okay, now there was a motion on the
floor.
That could be a friendly amendment.
Friendly amendment.
I'm happy with that.
Okay. Mr. Harper and Mr. Schrader.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Consider that friendly amendment.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's fine with me. Yeah.
Okay.
And just a clarification, even though the sheriff hasn't signed off, it's all right with the Attorney General's office, right?
As far as I know.
That tractor pull's been rained out 3 out of the 4 years, I think, that they've had it.
Okay. Well, we've discussed this enough. All in favor of the motion as amended, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. Okay, that passes. Thank you. Now we move on to item 9. Items to receive and place on file by ELEC committee to allow for a 30-day review period. A, case 769-AT-13. Amend the Champaign County Zoning Ordinance by amending the Champaign County Stormwater Management Policy by changing the name to Stormwater Management and Erosion Control Ordinance and amending the reference in Zoning Ordinance Section 4.3.10 and amend the Stormwater Management and Erosion Control Ordinance to add erosion and sedimentation controls to meet the requirements of the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, NPDES, Municipal Separate Storm Sewer System, MS4, Stormwater discharge permit with the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, IEPA, and make other changes and add other requirements related to erosion and sedimentation control as described in the legal advertisement. And I suppose we need a motion to, in a second, to discuss this. Is there
so moved.
Moved by Ms. Petrie. Seconded by Astrid. Ms. Berkson. Okay. Do you want to make some comments first, John?
Well, I've got a short PowerPoint presentation if the committee wants. Otherwise, need
to say yes.
Okay.
It's fine.
Copies of the slides here.
Do you need a copy? Yes, sir. John, do you have a spare copy?
Oh, yeah.
You might have that also. Well, I think he's got a lot. You have enough copies, don't you?
Yeah, I've got them. Thanks, Susan. Okay, so the purpose for this text amendment, as Aaron read in the description, is to adopt an ordinance that's consistent with the NPDES MS4 program. We have to have a stormwater management program to reduce pollutants and stormwater runoff from construction activities that result in a land disturbance of greater than or equal to an acre, and activities that disturb less than an acre as part of a larger common plan of development. And the program must include an ordinance to require construction site operators to implement appropriate ENS controls and also green infrastructure management techniques where appropriate, including sanctions to ensure compliance, site plan review procedures, site inspection procedures, enforcement, all to the extent allowable under state law. So we've got actually two text amendments tonight. Case 769, AT13 is the basic amendment. When the committee reviewed this originally, there were two options. Both options were forwarded for public hearing, and in the public hearing, we added a third option, not to make things difficult, but it seemed to be warranted. As we discussed when the committee originally reviewed this, there's also a resolution to adopt Water Pollution Control Authority. I did not have a draft of that resolution for this agenda. I was planning to provide it at the next meeting. And again, the basic amendment without any of the options is what is necessary to be in compliance with the NPDES program. When you review the draft ordinance that's in the agenda, everything that's not underlined is in our existing policy. Changes that the committee reviewed previously have a single underline, and then things that have been changed since the committee review have a double underline. And actually, there are quite a few double underlined sections, unfortunately, but that means that we actually corrected problems, so that's a good thing. The second case is 773-AT14. That case is completely optional. It wasn't previously reviewed by ELOC, and the reason it even exists is once we were in the public hearing, we realized there was a regulatory hole in the way we had described the legal advertisement for case 769. I don't like presenting amendments with holes to the county board for adoption, so it was cheaper to run a new case, cheaper to do that than rerun the legal advertisement for case 769. That legal advertisement is very lengthy. I guess it's a good thing it only had one hole. So case 773, as I said, is completely optional. And it is directly related to one of the options in 769. That's the so-called minimum erosion control standards. If the committee does not recommend the minimum erosion control standards in 769, then you should not recommend 773 because it wouldn't have any practical effect. So the major changes in 769, and these are no different than when the committee first reviewed this, the major change is to add a new permit requirement in our MS4 area. That's for the land disturbance erosion control permit. The MS4 area on this map, it's the areas in green. This map is actually not the entire county. It's a relatively small part of the entire county. The areas in green are the county jurisdiction inside the urbanized area. That's your MS4 jurisdiction. It's about 1% of your zoning jurisdiction, but that's where most of your, on a proportional basis, that's where most of the permitting occurs, even though it's only 1% of the land area. That map, by the way, was missing from the draft ordinance that went out with the agenda. I apologize for that. So back to this major change from the LDEC permit. There's two types, major or minor. Depending on how much land is disturbed. It's required for any land disturbance of more than 10,000 square feet. You may not be constructing anything, but if you're disturbing 10,000 square feet of land, you need an LDEC permit.
Could you define disturbance? Like
anything other than solid grass.
So if I'm plowing up my grass, say put it in a big garden, that would potentially cover it.
A big garden, we could, if it's more than 10,000 square feet, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying if you
I would suggest do your big garden in increments.
Yeah, no, if you turn the soil over, say it was plowed, just for example.
Well, if it's plowed for agriculture, it's exempt.
Okay. Plowed so I can use, plowed for non-agriculture would be a problem.
Yeah, okay. No problem. And maybe we could call a big enough garden in agriculture.
Your go-kart track.
I'm working on that. Thank you for reminding me.
It's just 100 by 100. That's not a very big garden.
And the LDEC permit is required in addition to a zoning use permit. There are two different things. In fact, the LDEC permit must be approved and inspected before the zoning use permit can be approved. We have to do it this way to keep the EPA satisfied. There's also a new administrative and enforcement rules. These are all modeled on what Champaign and Urbana have adopted, as much as we can do similar things. They're home rule municipalities. They can always do more things than the county. For the minor LDEC permit, actually there will be a major cost impact. We reviewed those for you when the committee first reviewed this. The cost impacts for major LDEC permit are going to be actually fairly slight. I mean, those cost impacts are in place already. They're already supposed to be putting up ENS controls when they disturb that much land. We added new technical appendices to help, primarily to help the applicants for the minor LDEC permits, but it's also important for the major permits because it goes back to having a whole regulatory structure in place. Even for a major development with engineers hired to do it, they still have to follow and use our forms. The good news is, back in the MS4 area, we would expect no more than 5 permits a year to require these LDEC permits. The bad news is that each of those permits has to be inspected weekly by someone in our office. It's supposed to be inspected daily by someone on the job site, but we're supposed to be there weekly. Another thing about this program, if one of the contractors for an LDEC permit violates the NPDES program, let's say, for example, the erosion controls fail and sediment floods into a neighbor's pond or whatever, not only is that contractor subject to a violation from the EPA, but so will the county. The city of Champaign ran into that this past summer, and that's the approach they take.
John? Let's take a snapshot. Let's say, if this was in effect last year, how many sites do you think we'd be dealing with today?
5.
5, okay. And that maybe typical, you think?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. And I'm glad you're prepared for that question.
We're not through dealing with the site until this thing called final stabilization occurs, which probably will take more than a year. And
that mean grass growing problem?
Yeah, roughly 70% of the area, there has to be permanent vegetation established. So we could end up with more of these at any one time, given that that might take longer sometimes.
Can we, in the permits, pass on the liability to them?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're the ones that will have all the liability, but we'll still be subject to a violation notice nonetheless. And just so you get a sort of a sense of how much of a change there was made to the ordinance, this is the table of contents of the draft ordinance. Everything in yellow is a completely new section that we never had before. Everything in white is essentially a section that we had before with very little changes. The blue sections are changes where there were very significant changes made. The current policy is probably no more than 20 pages, and just the standard details, Appendix F, in the new ordinance, that's 44 pages just by itself. Appendix D is about another 25 pages. Appendix C is about another 10 pages. So these are big physical changes to the ordinance. And again, that applies to the 1% of the jurisdiction that is the MS4 area. Oh, I'm sorry. I got so involved with the LDEC permit, I forgot about the other major changes. Another major change, a locational restriction on outlets for sump pumps and wastewater systems. This requires a 25-foot setback from the property line for a sump pump discharge, or a 25-foot setback from a road ditch or anything like that. Strengthening protections for existing drainage systems. What that means is we actually had protections in the nuisance ordinance that we could never have in the zoning ordinance, but once we were adding this erosion control ordinance, it would make sense to add those, and so we have. The options that we talked about previously, the minimum erosion standards and a minor LDEC permit fee of $50, those were both recommended by the ZBA. The option that wasn't previously reviewed with the committee and was not recommended by the ZBA was when we go to the outside the MS4 area, 99% of your jurisdiction, there's still a requirement that someone disturbing an acre of land get a permit from the EPA. For example, our own stormwater management policy requires stormwater detention if you're putting in an acre of impervious area, which means that you've disturbed more than an acre to do that. So we already have projects that are supposed to be getting permits from the EPA. We realized in the public hearing we didn't do a good job of dealing with this, what I'll call the ILR 10 requirement. And if you compare Section 4.1 in the ordinance that's recommended by the ZBA to what the committee reviewed previously, you'll see that this ordinance tells you a lot more about the ILR 10. It tells you when you need to worry about that. Actually, the zoning administrator has to make all applicants aware when the ILR 10 applies. Now, it stops there. If you're in the MS4 area or in the floodplain, we have to actually know that you've complied with the ILR 10, and that's the basic amendment. What was not recommended was, outside the MS4, making sure that if the ILR 10 applies, that you've applied for it and you're complying. The reason that was made as an option is, again, we wanted to present a complete package for the county board. We didn't want to leave holes in it. And what the ZBA has recommended, not requiring ILR 10 compliance outside the MS4 area, is completely consistent with the LRMP. It's completely consistent with the zoning ordinance. So whether or not you require ILR 10 compliance, you're going to comply with your own policies and your own adopted plan. Now, so I'm going to move on from there and talk about these minimum erosion control standards, which is the first option that the ZBA recommended. This is primarily in section 6.4, although it also includes 6.5 and a paragraph in 6.1F. This would apply everywhere in the jurisdiction. There's more restrictive requirements in the MS4 area. Again, the big thing here is it authorizes the zoning administrator to require erosion and sediment controls when there's a valid complaint about erosion or sedimentation on neighboring land. If it's not a valid complaint, then the zoning administrator can't be requiring those controls. If there's no valid complaint, you don't have to install the controls. But what it does do, in every instance, it requires that construction waste and debris be properly disposed of. It requires minimum separations between large stockpiles of earth, 150 cubic yards or greater, and sensitive areas. A sensitive area being a bank of a drainage ditch or a stream, center line of a swale, a roadside ditch or a property line, and then not within a drainage ditch easement. So the thinking is, as long as these large stockpiles are at least that far away from those things, even if we get a heavy rain, the sedimentation shouldn't be a big problem. In regards to general land disturbance, you know, regrading and things like that, there's again a 50-foot separation between that land disturbance and the top of the drainage ditch or stream. Now, within the mapped floodplain, that's already a requirement. If you disturb land, well, IDNR would not let you do regrading within 50 feet of the stream if you're in the mapped floodplain. Regarding the center line of a swale, yeah, again, you got to stay 30 feet outside of the swale. Again, that's so that if there happens to be a storm event, the swale's not going to erode away. The other thing, and this is the one thing that we do get complaints about, we don't get a lot of complaints about this, but it's the one thing we've gotten complaints about. Streets, sidewalks, and public areas shall be free of sediment. Now, sediment may be carried out there during the workday when the trucks leave the site, but it's supposed to be removed at the end of the workday. And so this would be a standard throughout your jurisdiction. I can remember at least three instances of regrading going on where we got complaints and we couldn't do anything. Highway commissioners could require that to be cleaned up, but it just depends on the highway commissioner. Sometimes he doesn't mind being a bad guy, but most times they don't really want to be seen as being real restrictive to their constituents about something like that. Jeff Blue, on the other hand, will not waste a second complaining about sediment being tracked onto his county highways. So that's the... the minimum erosion control standards. And when you read the finding of fact, sometimes we refer to it simply as minimum standards. If you go back through the history of the public hearing, we actually called them minimum erosion control requirements until the last night of the public hearing. And at that point, the ZBA realized what it was supposed to be, and they said, please refer to these as standards rather than requirements. So we call them standards now. Now, the minor LDEC permit fee, again, this was reviewed previously. It's a small $50 fee that applies for the minor LDEC permit. That's only going to be in the MS4 jurisdictional area. It's intended to be a partial recapture. We expect to be helping people prepare their sediment plans. Our zoning tech, one of them is taking training classes this year, so she can help people do that. It's going to take probably at least twice as much time as what we would normally take with a zoning use permit site plan. And so we propose this $50 fee, and the ZBA is recommending it. The third option, the one that's not recommended by the ZBA again, is this ILR-10 compliance outside of the MS4 area. This is in section 4.1 of the ordinance. If you go to page 14, you'll see there's a line that has striped out through it, and that's where it's been stricken. It's not been recommended. If you decide that you would like to include this in your recommendation, then we would remove the strikeout. We already have to make everyone aware if the ILR 10 requirement applies. Requiring ILR 10 compliance, we don't have to do any additional inspections. We just ask for a notice of intent at the beginning of the project, make sure they've submitted that to the EPA. And at the end of the project, we would get a copy of the notice of termination for our records. Again, this is already a requirement throughout the state. It's enforced by the IEPA. Requiring compliance would help the EPA make sure that they're getting all the notices that they're supposed to get. But again, not requiring it would not violate your LRNP. It wouldn't violate your zoning ordinance purpose. It would be consistent with everything. And it's just a matter of whether or not you want to help the EPA in their enforcement. And as a practical matter, I would imagine in the future the EPA will ask for a list of our permits every month, just like everybody else does right now. They'll probably go down that list of permits and make sure that anything that looks like it should have an ILR 10 permit already has one. So that actually would be a great help to the EPA. And it's something that we don't even charge for. We do it with the health department right now. So it's not like there's a big need for this ILR 10 compliance, but I felt that you needed to have that option available.
So why did the ZBA not want it done?
To tell you the truth, they were greatly concerned about all the added tasks that our department will have. They felt like that would just be another task. I don't feel like that would be such a big deal. But the other thing is this. Requiring ILR 10 compliance means that no one could avoid an EPA requirement. And the
is
EPA,
that not a goal?
That's for you to decide. There are significant cost impacts of making sure someone files an ILR 10 notice of intent. They've got to comply with all of the erosion control requirements. And right now, I seriously doubt that everyone complies. Anything with a good engineer on it is going to comply with the ILR 10 because the engineer doesn't want to get a bad rep with the EPA. But I'm sure not everything gets an ILR 10 right now. It would increase costs for those folks. And I know that was one concern of the ZBA. They were really concerned that the county might be seen as the policeman for all this, when in fact it really goes back to the EPA.
So if we don't do this, what is the fallout effect on the county when it comes back to bite us?
There shouldn't be any fallback effect. As long as you do what you need to do in the MS4 area, outside of that, you're not obligated to do anything.
So when the MS4 area gets pushed out, and then we might have non-conforming issues if we don't do it.
Well, yeah, but once there's final stabilization on the property, these erosion control issues no longer matter. So, like going back to when we go to case 773, where we're proposing a grading and demolition permit, those permits only matter when the land is disturbed. Once there's final stabilization, if you didn't apply for one of those permits, it doesn't matter because there's final stabilization. And that's what matters.
But it only happens because of the permits.
No. It may happen sooner if someone knows that there's a permit requirement, but does anyone leave their land, their yard to be bare earth? No, everybody wants a yard as soon as they can. On a commercial site, I mean, I don't even know commercial sites that leave their property just in bare earth. So no one wants their land to erode. The thing is, are they putting up controls during the time it takes to get the grass established? And that's the big difference.
Okay.
John, this is my break here. Going back to the map, the boundaries for this forest are based on the urbanized area boundary to a certain extent, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
So when are the boundaries likely to be changed?
They're likely to be changed in 2020. In fact, these boundaries are different. than the boundary we had between 2003 and 2010. We actually had more land area in the urbanized area. It was almost 11 square miles, or no, it was 13 square miles. But for some reason, after the 2010 census, they changed it to this area, which is smaller. A lot of people think that sometime, maybe not 2020, but at some point in the future, they may go out and include the complete mile and a half.
Yeah.
But
with a mile and a half, but who sets the urbanized areas?
Well, the census sets the urbanized area, but there's a belief that the EPA may.
Right, but that's the country state. That's not based on some more people's census base.
Well,
indirectly.
Yeah, coming from the US EPA. So, and again, when the committee first reviews a text amendment, the idea is so that municipalities and townships know what is being recommended to the county board. And so tonight when you vote on this, it's important to address those three options. If you support the recommendation of the ZBA, that would include the option for the minimum standards and the minor LDEC permit. It would not include the ILR 10 compliance. Even those two things are optional. You could have a recommendation that didn't include any option. Or you could add the third one, the ILR 10 compliance.
So, before we get to that, may I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Patrick.
Okay. Let's see if I can start in an orderly manner. Okay. Page 19 or page 52, whichever number you're working at. And I'm asking questions about 6.4 A and B. And are there any checks and balances built in to these two?
Checks and balances.
Yeah. Well, the way I read it is necessary to minimize erosion and sedimentation on adjacent property, etc. However, the lack of erosion and sediment control shall not itself be a violation of this ordinance.
Yeah, the reason it's written like this is so it is a clear requirement if it's required pursuant to a violation. In fact, you'll notice there at the end of 6.4a, based on a valid complaint has double underlining. That was added the last night of the public hearing, specifically to make sure that it was very clear this is supposed to be pursuant to a complaint.
Right, it's still complaint driven, mm-hmm. Yeah. That doesn't make me happy, but you know that already. That leaves a lot of holes, and I have some good questions. I should have dogged you, but I'll do this. Go ahead, others who have questions, I'll find them.
Anyone else? Questions, comments at this point in time?
Am I the only one?
And if I could offer, the committee might want to take up 773 before they make a recommendation in this case. And once they can see both cases side by side, then you could make a recommendation in each case. And that would let you talk about both cases at the same time.
Okay, I found my other questions. All right, page 158. I'm looking at 6.6A, and then when I read this, and then I read...
This is into the next case.
Oh,
I mean,
I can't.
Do we want, well...
Well, I thought we were going to...
Do we want...
Are we going to consider this first or not?
As long as any motion is specific to the case that it applies to, the ZBA had both of these cases open at their public hearing, and they took comments on both at the same time.
Oh, they did. At the
it's
same
up
time.
To the chair.
Well,
to decide.
I guess does anyone want to? I can go with the B.
Notice, you for part of the
people,
you can let her talk.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me complain.
Yeah.
Talk.
Go Go ahead, Patsy, then. Go ahead. That's fine.
Back to page 158.
Mm-hmm.
6.6A.
Mm-hmm.
As I read this, and then I read what's on page 163A. Maybe the way I'm reading them, but they don't seem to be in sync as to meaning. So
okay.
I'll be happy to have some assistance.
Well, to begin with, on page 158, that's one paragraph of the proposed ordinance. On page 163, that A is not part of the ordinance. It's merely trying to explain.
I understand that.
Okay.
That part I understand.
Okay. So on page 158, that paragraph A says, demolition or grading resulting in an acre or more of land disturbance, or less if part of a larger common plan, not located in the MS4 area, shall be subject to the requirement for either a demolition or a grading permit.
Okay, this says proposed amendment in this case is only relevant when there is grading or demolition that is not related to other construction, and two, when the grading or demolition occurs outside of the MS4 jurisdictional area.
Right, and so on page 163, that paragraph A is incorporating something that is on page 158 in paragraph 4.5b, where it says grading and demolition permit exemptions. When grading or demolition,
yeah, that is not part or related to other construction. That will not result in less than 1 acre of land disturbance. And that is not part of the larger common plan of development or sale or record. Is that what you're referring to?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it would be something like a golf course or a heliport or something like that?
Well, we've had three instances of people doing significant regrading with no construction plan. And it's been years and there's been no construction happening. And so demolition related to other construction, that actually is taken care of by the zoning use permit. But if you're just doing demolition and not building, that's when you need a demolition permit. I'm a little confused right now, Patsy, on that 4.5A, and I'm wondering if we need to revisit that.
Okay, well, that would be great. As I say, it just may have been the way I was reading it, but okay. And then I think my last one is back to page 158, 6.6B. Again, it's how I'm reading it. So is it necessary to be included?
Yes, because the intent, once you require the grading and demolition permit for anything over an acre, the minimum standards actually apply to any grading or demolition. Even if there's no permit requirement, those standards apply. This is similar to what your zoning ordinance does with very small structures. You only need to get a permit if a structure is 150 square feet or larger. If it's less than 150 square feet, you don't need a permit, but the zoning requirements still apply.
Okay. So one last comment. Okay, this is one last comment. This is a general comment. I'm hoping after all is said and done, and it gets through the county board, that attention is paid to put this document more into a flow chart so John Q. Public can make the connections on it. Because right now, unless I'm an engineer, and this is what I do every day. To read it is formidable.
Have you reviewed the handout?
Which handout? Oh, the one in the front?
The handout that starts on page 29 and goes to page 32. This is a handout that we've already
done.
Have already done. And I agree with you. Even the handout is formidable. There's a lot of text there.
Well, you know me, I'm very visual, and so I was just trying to think of an additional or appendix type of document to when it's all said.
Mr. Wadman.
John, will we need a permit when we start demolition, assuming a demolition of our favorite building in the Carroll subdivision? I believe it's in the MS4s area. Let's assume it is.
It is in the MS4 area. It's in our jurisdiction. We should not disturb anywhere near 10,000 square feet.
Okay. You're assuming they're not going to use a front loader to pick up the garbage?
Well, they need to disturb more than half of that lot.
Okay.
And so.
Well, I was going to look at the lot, but after the fire, I decided to be involved.
However, if a certain apartment complex out in the larger jurisdiction ever goes through demolition, we'll need an ILR 10 permit for that.
Go ahead, Patsy.
I just have one last suggestion for a ticker file. And you're saying that you have about five anticipated, five a year. Well, maybe after 2 years to review to see how well things are working, that might give you 10, and then a 10 to look at. Okay.
And if we can't keep up with this inspection requirement, we will bring it to your attention. I would rather bring it to your attention than have the EPA bring it to your attention. So we will let you know how that goes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we did have a motion for the first case. So if there's no...
Well, he's suggesting we look at the second case. I made the motion on the first case, and Ms. Brooks said seconded. I'd be happy to withdraw that motion so a motion can be put on the floor for the second case to consider first.
Consider the first... second one first.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were.
Isn't that what you suggested?
Don't do the first.
Did I understand?
Well, eventually, when you make your recommendation on 7, you really don't know what to do on 773 until you know what you want to do on 769.
769, we really need to act on first.
Right, I was clearing it so that could happen.
So that we could discuss 773 more?
No. Which is B.
But John's saying we should do 769 before.
I mean A.
Yeah. Right. He's saying without 769, there's no real need for 70. Right. if we do nothing with 769, we don't need 773.
Well, no, you need to do something with
769. No, you have to.
But we have to. But I'm saying just say. Hypothetically, if we don't do anything, if absolutely nothing happened to 769, there would be absolutely no reason for 773.
And in fact, if 769 doesn't include those optional minimum standards, there's no need for 773 because it would be useless.
So basically, we need to act on
A first. Yeah.
Okay. And the original motion
was for A.
Was for A,
but it wasn't specific to the options.
Yes.
It wasn't specific to the options. So I guess, do we want to discuss the options? Do we want to go with the ZBA's recommendations?
Personally, I would like to make certain that all three options are part of what gets put forward.
don't understand what you mean.
Point of order, that should be a form of an
amendment. Yeah, so you would...
I move.
You move to amend that all three options as presented.
Move forward.
Is there, is there a second to that?
I'll second it.
Second, Mr. Wyble.
But I also clarified the three options, if John was taking what the three options are.
The optional, or the minimum erosion control standards. The minor LDEC permit. And the requiring the ILR 10 compliance outside the MS4 area. And the first two were recommended by the ZBA, the third was the permit.
Mr. Harper.
John, is this, all this come down from the EPA? Is that why we're having all, I mean...
The basic amendment, yes, it's coming from, well,
thing, I mean,
technically the Clean Water Act. The EPA is just enforcing the Clean Water Act.
I'm not going in the construction business, but I'd hate to have to go to Jamie with a team of lawyers and tell me if I can get a permit or something.
Well, if you're in the MS4 area and you're just building your own home,
mm-hmm.
and if you've got an acre of land disturbance... You need to get that minor LDEC permit, and our people will be there to help you do that. And I'll be out to see you every week to make sure that there's no problems with the erosion.
Only if you serve coffee.
We can do that. So we can serve that anyone to up there.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm reading through all this stuff. I'm glad you put this here.
Yeah, it's a good summary.
I didn't get too lost.
I didn't either.
Yeah. So any more discussion on the motion as amended? Or actually, we need to vote on the amendment. Are we ready to vote on the amendment?
Yeah, which amendment?
Well, it's the only one, the amendment to add all three of the requirements. The
which
minimum,
you just
the,
described.
The minimum, the erosion sedimentation controls, the minor LDEC, and the IRL. R10 requirements, all three. So those are the three amendments that we're voting on right now to add into the original motion. And again, just clarification, the first two were recommended by ZBA and the third one was not.
Correct.
Okay. All in favor of that amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay.
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 Yeah.
Show of hands.
Yes.
All in favor, please raise your hand. Okay, I see, saw three, and all opposed. See four. So that amendment fails, Mr. Wyble.
I move that we amend it by adding the first two options, so not the one requirement, which means we're not requiring IL10 compliance outside of this 4-year.
Second.
Okay, movement. Mr. Wyble, the amendment, and second Mr. Schrader. Any more discussion on that? Okay, all in favor of that amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. Okay, that passes. So, we're back to the original motion as just amended. Is there any more questions, comments on that? Seeing none. For the motion as amended, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Okay, that passes. Thank you. We'll move on then to case 773-AT-14. Amend the Champaign County Stormwater Management and Erosion Control Ordinance that is the subject of a separate zoning case 769-AT-13 by adding a requirement for a grading and demolition permit for any grading or demolition that disturbs 1 acre or more of land, or for any grading or demolition that is part of a greater common plan of development in which 1 acre or more of land disturbance will occur, and that is not related to any proposed construction, and add fees for grading and demolition permits and other requirements related to grading and demolition permits as described in the legal advertisement. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Wyble.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Shore. Mr. Wyble.
John, is the main reason for this is to add a fee so that that will help pay the person in the office to prepare the plan for the contractor?
No, the main reason for this is, going back to case 769, the original legal advertisement did not mention requiring grading or demolition permits outside of the MS4 area. And that was the hole that I referred to.
So this is just informal?
Grading and demolition not related to other construction. Again, if it's related to other construction, it's covered. But for those instances where there's no other construction, we realized we didn't include that. And so that's really what this is meant to do. The $50 fee is meant to recapture some of the cost. You may have noticed that that fee is actually waived if they have applied for an ILR 10 notice of intent, then they owe us no fees because our work really is already done at that point.
But that didn't get that cost.
But they could volunteer.
Well, they would have applied to the EPA with a notice of intent. We're just not requiring it.
Right.
Yeah. But they could show.
Yeah.
They could still say, hey, we've got an IL. If they're reading this, they have their ILR 10. They can show them and it's not over the $50.
Yeah.
We just aren't requiring it of anybody outside of the MS4. But if they already have it and wave it in our face, hey, we don't need to pay the $50.
Yeah. And in fact, they'll pay much more than $50 for that application fee. And that's why we would waive this 50, because this 50 is just a minimal fee intended to recapture part of the cost.
Go ahead, John.
Okay, again, this adds these permits as a requirement when it's not related to other construction and disturbs an acre or more of land outside of the MS4 jurisdiction. But requiring the permits means that everyone would receive these protections of the minimum erosion control standards. The fee, it's waived. It does add a requirement for clean construction or demolition debris used as fill. Actually, this is something that comes up quite often. That's an EPA standard that already applies. We have to deal with it a lot in our enforcement cases. And in this text amendment, we actually looked up the actual requirements. Now we understand what it means. And this actually would apply anytime someone is filling. They can include clean construction debris as part of that fill. It doesn't add any other requirements, but you'll notice that if you're demolishing a principal structure, say a house, and you're not going to rebuild a new house, then the way this is written, you have to tell us, are you abandoning that well? And if you are, have you done that properly through the county health department? Have you abandoned the septic tank properly? If you're abandoning or if you're demolishing something other than a single family house, we actually have to check to see if you've done your asbestos mitigation. These are all existing requirements that apply, and the reason they're part of this amendment is we don't want to overlook those things.
What is clean construction debris?
Glad you asked. Uncontaminated broken concrete without protruding metal bars, bricks, rock, stone, reclaimed or other asphalt pavement, and soil generated from construction activities. So, the fact a lot of people think it's just clean concrete, but no, it's actually these other things also.
No drywall, no furniture, no cars.
Good point.
People try that though. Jane, you've seen
And you can also use broken concrete as the riprap for erosion control. So,
that's all
that's
you
it.
Got?
That's it.
Okay, any other questions, comments? And if not, you ready to vote on this motion? All in favor? Please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Okay, that passes too.
Okay, so you just to review to make sure I've got this straight. You've upheld the ZBA recommendation in both cases, and we'll see. We may well get a township protest on this. We did everything we could in the public hearing. When we heard comments from townships. We changed things if we could. I actually, they were steadfast against the grading and demolition permit, but they, I think, sort of appreciated the well abandonment that we added and things like that. So we'll just have to see. We'll report back at the next meeting to see if there's progress.
Go ahead, Pat.
Just one last clarification question, please. On page 21, under 7, these amounts that will be charged, how were these determined? Did you use examples of other?
These are the costs for the construction, the materials and installation. You're talking about page 21, which is actually attachment B.
Well, under 7, the last two.
Yeah. Okay. This was based on a study that the city of Bloomington had made for there, and then we updated it for our for current costs and for our situation.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll move on to part 10. Items to be recommended to the county board. We have A, proposed minor amendments to Champaign County Land Resource Management Plan. Is there something moved by Mr. Shore? Or second?
I'm sorry.
Oh, is there a second? Second. Oh, seconded by Mr. Weibel. Okay, now open for discussion, comments, questions.
Does Susan want to give us
In case it wasn't completely obvious, I made the requested changes from last month to add a footnote.
No bag. No, Mr. Weibel.
I think it's a good idea. We should pass it.
Okay. Give everyone a few more seconds, I guess. Seeing none, no other comments or questions. All in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. Okay, that passes unanimously. Monthly, move on then to 11, monthly reports for February 2015, which we'll accept and place on file. Are there any questions for Mr. Hall about them while we're here? Okay.
Are we back to general activities now after the recession? Assuming that, I mean, how about average, not the big rush before, but.
The zoning use permits has actually been quite busy this year. Zoning cases, for some reason, they're actually slower than they were during the recession. And I don't know why that is. I do know there's a couple of people that owe us zoning cases and they haven't made their applications yet.
Maybe they're following the rules?
No, I wouldn't be that positive. So I can't explain that.
Okay.
But we have some very interesting zoning cases coming up. I can't say that.
Okay, we'll move on to other business. Does anybody have anything for other business? Don't see anything. Chair's report. Don't have any thing to tell anybody that hasn't been discussed. Designation of items to be placed on consent agenda, that would only be 10A, the proposed minor amendments to the Champaign County Land Resource Management Plan. And then we're to adjournment. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Mr. Harper, seconded by Ms. Bergson. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming, David. Haven't seen you in a long time.
Yep.
Invite me. I'm always happy to come. Jamie, thank you for staying.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my greeting that is funny. Wait a minute.
Yeah, greeting that is fun. There's no doubt about that.
All right, you think facilities is still going on?
I figured it probably
worked. I said I wouldn't facility.